So now I've laid out all sorts of business processes in mortgage lending, and now I'd like to do a couple of things with them. In this talk, I want to talk about what the implications of all these processes and how they are divided up among different industry participants for something called mortgage relief. These were proposals that were made at the height of the mortgage crisis, 2008, 2009, to offer borrowers who were in trouble lower rates and lower outstanding principal in order to have fewer foreclosures. Now, if a private lender who owns the loan wants to offer mortgage relief voluntarily, that's something that they can figure out how to do. But what mortgage relief I'm talking about was policy proposals and legislation that was trying to require this. And you can think of this mortgage relief as taking one of two forms. One is you modify an existing loan. So somehow the loan is the same, it's the same actual mortgage loan, but you change the interest rate of the principal. Or you could have a new loan. That's the alternative, is just declare this loan paid off, the existing loan paid off, and come up with a new loan. So you can either modify an existing loan or do a new loan. So from a business process perspective, I want to show how each of these can cause problems. Well, modifying an existing loan, the issue there is original loan is still sitting in a county recorder office. So what do you do about the loan that's been recorded? Do you go into that office and just cross out the interest rate or the principal and put something else in? Who does that? Is that legal in the various places? Does that work legally? Another problem comes from the security standpoint, that if that loan is in a security, and one of the results of securitization is that in terms of business process, the default risk and the financial risk, the interest rate risk, are now being borne by two different parties, or in different proportions in different parties. So the person who has the interest rate risk, who's focused on bearing, whose main concern is the interest rate on the mortgage, is hurt. So the person who's looking to get interest on the loan, the person who's expecting the interest rate to stay the same gets hurt. The person who's bearing the default risk perhaps gets helped because they don't have to pay up for a default. So you've got two parties with different interests because of the way the securitization process works, somehow have to agree on this loan modification. One of the advantages of having a new loan is that the existing loan is prepaid, and the prepayment of the loan is what takes care of the person who owns the security, in order to get income from interest and principal on the security. Now, they may not be happy about being prepaid at a particular point in time. Especially if interest rates are falling, they can be hurt by that, and they could conceivably want to sue. In 2006, it wasn't in the offering circular that these loans might be that might be refinanced by some program and at a lower rate with lower principal. It's now currently disclosed in the offering circular, but it wouldn't have been disclosed several years ago. So even a new loan can cause legal problems for the people who are expecting to get their interest and principal as originally written. But modifying an existing loan is really problematic for them. If you go with a new loan, then you're creating a situation where you're turning a mortgage servicer into an originator. That is, somebody whose job it was to collect payments and if the payments don't come, send out default notices, now is in the business of originating loans. They may not have anyone who originates loans. And they may not have a procedure for funding loans that are originated. All these front-end processes they don't have. And whatever mortgage relief program you have, presumably you have some eligibility standards and you want to have people apply for the loan. But remember the Fannie Mae 1003, the loan application. This was not designed for mortgage modifications. It was not designed to deal with whatever eligibility criteria you might have for mortgage relief. Those eligibility criteria might be quite different than for a new loan. For example, some mortgage relief was targeted at what were called underwater mortgages. Well, how do you tell that a mortgage is underwater? That means that the loan amount is less, let me write neatly, the loan amount is less than the house price, or sorry, greater than the current house price. That's the definition of an underwater mortgage. Well, somebody's got to verify that the house price has gone down. Is there going to be appraisal in that process? How is that eligibility going to be determined? You can write down criteria, but then who's supposed to implement these criteria? What kind of application, what should be on the loan application? How should the lender go about verifying this stuff? And remember, once again, we're asking a servicer to do this. A servicer doesn't have an appraisal shop. It doesn't have people who are trained in loan applications. It doesn't have systems for capturing data on loan applications. It doesn't have a funding process to take a mortgage commitment, to bring a check to settlement, and so on. It doesn't have any of these processes in place, and yet I don't think anyone really thought about these issues of business processes when they tried these mortgage relief programs. So the moral of the story is that it is worth understanding how these processes work and how they're organized. And next time I'm going to talk about what that means in terms of what you can expect for how different segments of the industry will perform based on how what the industry structure is around these processes.